You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Ross Steele.
We are in the I'm Not Fine series, starting with, this week, we started with anxiety. Pastor Nathan was here last week, stress, and this week we get to talk about loneliness. And I'm going to be completely honest, I didn't really know exactly how or where I was going to go for a while, and I was kind of like struck. I just was like, Lord, you're going to have to show me what you want to say, because I'm kind of lost when it comes to loneliness. And that's not to say that I've never experienced loneliness. I tell you, in just complete transparency, and some people who have been in the ministry for some time can definitely relate, because I've heard them tell me as well, and they've checked in on me because they know what it feels like. But when you get into the ministry, and this is for anybody, but I never realized it until I actually decided, hey, yeah, I'm going to be a pastor. And once I did, and once I became the campus pastor, everything is still great, and I love it all, but I realized it's just different. Some of my relationships that I've had a lot of my life, they're just not the same as much anymore. And there have been moments where I myself have felt lonely in my role. And luckily I have great mentor, you know, Phil and Jan always, you know, checking in, praying. You know, Trevor's checked in with me as well, because, you know, so many people that are here today have been in ministry at some time, and they always check in. Hey, I know what it's like. I know that you could feel lonely being in the role you are. I just want to check in, make sure there's anything I can do. So I'm grateful for that. And I love each and every person who checks in. And that's not me to say, to share with you, to say, you know, feel bad for me or anything. Don't invite me out. Like, I got enough going on. I don't need to have something every other night going on. But I just say that to say, hey, I can relate. I get it. And there are different seasons of our life that we will walk through. And some of those seasons may be loneliness. So the title of my message today is Letting Go of Loneliness. And hopefully you got your sermon notes on the way in, and you can follow along. Everything will be up on the screen as well. But the truth with loneliness, and there is a difference between loneliness and being alone. You know, there is a big difference. And the heart can bear being alone, but it can't bear loneliness. You know, I want to dive more into just really simplify what it means, what is alone and what is lonely. Because alone is something that we can feel when there is no one, whereas lonely is something we can feel even when there is everyone. We can be, and some people are here today, you're surrounded by a lot of people, a lot of loving people, a lot of kind people, but yet you still feel very lonely. And I don't say that just to gloss over it. It's just the truth. You know, the enemy wants to get us apart. He wants to whisper lies to say, hey, you're all alone in this. There's nobody here to help you. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants you around. He'll whisper all those lies just to get you by yourself so that you feel lonely. Because when we feel lonely, then we're more vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. We're more vulnerable to those attacks. And that's why we need community. But here's the thing, at the Pendleton campus, a Life Church, I have a vision. I have a vision for when it comes to loneliness. My vision is that when service is over, that we'll stay in the room. When you pay the check, you already sign it off or pay cash, whatever you do, that you stay at the table. And you continue to talk, you continue to build community. My vision is that when you're there for somebody, when they're grieving in a sad and a hard moment, that when the tears stop flowing, you'll keep hugging. My vision is beyond just this message. It's that we will go above and beyond to get ourselves out of this season of loneliness at any time that we've experienced it. Maybe we're experiencing it now, or maybe we will. And I want to give us the tools and resources of how to overcome this feeling of loneliness. And there's a study, a Harvard study, that I was reading. It's 1 in 3 of you believe these three things. I have three little points that that I want to share with you, that one in three of you today, say there's 120 people, I don't know how many people are here, say there's 120 people of you, you do the math, that's about 40 of you who are saying this is, you'll believe one of these things or all of these things. The first is this, that you have needs in your life and no one to meet them. One in three of you believe this. The other, that you have hurts to share and no one to listen to them. Do you believe this? You believe that nobody is there to hear where you're hurting, to listen to you. And then finally, one in three of you believe that you have love to give and no one to receive it. And in a moment of transparency and honesty, can any of these three things, can anybody say, yeah, I feel that? Anybody, I see those hands. They're all over this house. Y'all, you're not alone. You're not alone. I know it feels it. I know the enemy has put a lot of weight on his shoulders to make it feel like you just can't get out and that you'll always feel lonely. But there is hope. And I'm going to share that hope with us or with you today. And it's as much a message for me as it is for you. Because God never intended for you to be lonely. That was never his intention. From the very beginning, he never intended for you to be lonely. And I'm going to take us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to start all the way at the beginning of the Bible today. And I'm going to jump around to different verses throughout chapter 1. So just follow along, bear with me here. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind, and God saw that it was good. And to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that, again, it was good. And God made the beasts of the earth and after their kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw, again, that it was good. Until God said that something wasn't good. I want to take us to Genesis chapter 2, where it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.' The Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, 'At last, this is good. This is really, really good. This is great.'" God knew from the beginning, his intention was to never let us to be alone, never to let us feel lonely. So he created woman for man. He created community in that moment. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.'" The cool thing I want to point out is the things that are highlighted here: us, our. This is plural. You know, everybody knows, hey, yeah, God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, but when he created man, let us. You know, he created it all three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is plural. God himself is never alone. Never is, never was. There is a perfect community here that we see. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And because he is perfect community, because he sees and knows the importance of community, he created us for community, to never be alone. See, God created us, man and woman. He created us because he is love. He himself is love, so he created us. And Matthew chapter 22 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This simple phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. This is a phrase that the early church back in Acts, the early church embraced it way beyond what we probably do today, if we're being completely honest. Where have we drifted? We've drifted away from what the early church embraced. And my challenge for us as a church is that we'll get back to it. That we'll get back to what the early church was all about. And what is that? I want to take us to Acts chapter 2 this morning, verse 46. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. I want to jump just back to that. Every single day they got together, every day they broke bread in their homes. They welcomed people into their lives. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They rejoiced together. All of these things. This is community. This is what the early church did. They saw that we needed community. They saw that was the purpose that God had always intended. But yet we decided, and maybe I'll step on some toes today, but maybe you walk in here today expecting to just walk in and walk out. But I'm telling you, you're doing it wrong. I'm not here I don't want to offend you, but honestly, if it offends you, then I think that's what the Lord wants to do, because we need community. You're not meant to do life alone. And here at our Pendleton campus, my goal has always been 100% participation in our life groups. That's how we connect. We want to grow, we connect to grow. That's how we do it. And it's always been 100%. Have we ever met 100% goal? No, but last year we had 98% participation in life groups. You wonder why the church has grown the way it has? It's because people are connected, because lives are being changed. Lives aren't just changed on Sunday morning. They're changed every single day throughout the week that happens in our life groups. That's what they're for. Connectedness is more about emotional unity than physical proximity. We can be sitting right next to or in the middle of a circle, you know, having great conversation, but are you actually connected? Can you honestly say that you have an emotional unity with those around you, that you're building them up and they're building you up? You're opening your life to say, hey, look in and tell me what is good and what needs to change. We need that in our lives. So if this is the case, then why did the early church, why did they gather so often? Because in the early church, they recognized how much they needed each other. And they made it a point to get together. But here in our lives, what I see is that we desperately need each other, but we have forgotten it. We desperately need each other, and we have forgotten it in our world. I'm not talking just here at the Pendleton campus. I'm not talking at life churches. I'm talking in the world as a whole. We desperately need each other, but the world has forgotten it. It's all about, what did I do? How far did I climb the ladder? What did I do? What successes, what awards have I gotten? How much money did I bring in? What were my sales like? All these things. We're trying to accomplish all these things because we look on social media, we see everybody else around us and how they're succeeding. But I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. It's just a highlight reel. What joy, is there actual joy in their life? I'm not saying that people who have success don't have any joy. You can have both, I promise you, but is it all about them or is it all about him? We have to keep our focus on him, Jesus Christ. We need relationship with him, and we need relationship with one another if we want to get out of this hole of loneliness that seems so dark and so deep that we just can't climb out of at times. And here, honestly, we like to observe without real interaction and avoid intimacy. We're scared of intimacy. We're scared of letting people in to see us for us, to see our true colors. Why is that? Because the enemy's whispering the lies that they're not going to like you for who you are. So then we try to be somebody else. And I say that because I've been there. I don't say that as like talking down to you. I've been there. I've made decisions that will put on a front as if I have it all together, when really inside I'm all broken and scattered and I have no idea what's going on. But God is a redeemer and he is a healer. And we know that. And not only do we just need a relationship with God, we need relationship with one another. This generation in our world today is suffering connection for the sake of convenience. Everything is online. You shop online. You can buy a car online nowadays. You could buy houses without seeing them. You do everything online because COVID happened, and then the government decided, hey, social distancing. What a stupid word and what a stupid concept. Social distancing? We're trying as a church to work our way back because for so long, for 2 years, we've been told social distance, social distance, social distance. No, it should have just been physical distance. We didn't have to be socially disconnected in that physical distancing. I mean, I say that I didn't really physical distance anyways as it was, but just being completely transparent. But I'm being serious. Like, we're still coming out of 2020, COVID came, 2022, we're still talking about how there's another wave and we need to, you know, travel advisories, all these things. And then we suffered because of it. And then everything went online because businesses had to evolve, obviously, for the times. I understand that. But then everything's online, even churches online. And there's gonna be people who listen to this message, and I'm gonna speak directly to them, is that the truth is that if you are watching online and only online, you need to get back into church. Even if you live across the country, you need to get and find a local church in your community. I say that because we really desperately need each other, and we need biblical community to come around us, lift us up in our spirits when we're down, sit with us in our grieving, and to go through life together. Craig Rochelle says this. He says, people are intentionally pursuing a life that destroys their mental health and robs them of real joy and lasting fulfillment. That's what I see in our world today, all around. You can look on social media, you can look in classrooms, you can anything. This is what people do. And they don't realize it, but it robs them of a real joy, a lasting fulfillment because of convenience. You know, when I first took over this campus, it was 2 years ago, and that same year, my grandma, who actually was the one who said, hey, she's told me the story about, and I've shared it with you all, but I was young, and she asked me what I want to do when I was older, and she said that I said, I'm going to feed Jesus' sheep. And then many of you know my story. I definitely didn't do all that for most of my life. And then now here I am, 2 years ago, I step in as campus pastor. And then in that same year, she was battling cancer. She passed away that August. And then what happened was people showed up. I was the pastor for them. My grandma passed away, and I had people showing up at the showing. And it really wasn't a funeral or anything like that, but I had people showing up at the showing that were from this campus that didn't even know her. They were there for me. They were there to support me because they know that in times of grieving and in times, in those hard times, we need people to come alongside us and say, hey, we see you, and I'm here. You can lean on me. Anything you need, let me know. People showed up, and that's what church is all about. That's what community, that's what this connectedness is all about, is for people to show up, not just to be surface level and put on a front, but just to be real with each other. To open up our lives to one another, to cry with one another, to laugh with one another. That's what we need in our life. And how do we get that? We get that by Jesus honoring life groups. We can find that in Jesus honoring life groups, and there's three principles that I find in a Jesus honoring life group. And when I was preparing this message and I shared with you at the beginning, I wasn't sure exactly how I was gonna deliver or even what I was gonna say, but then I realized this is all about community. And what is one of our things that we say here all the time? Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Connect to grow is such a big part because we say at Life Church, we are a church of life groups, not a church with life groups. We are meant to be in a life group, and we need to be in a life group. Every single one of you, even if it's your first time today, we'll get you plugged in. I promise you, we'll find you a spot. It's not too late, even if you miss signups. We'll find your spot. We'll make it happen. The first thing I see of a Jesus-honoring life group is a gathering of grace. It's a gathering of grace. In Philippians chapter 1, says, "You have a permanent place in my heart. You have remained partners with me in the wonderful grace of God." We are partners together in the grace of God. And we, as a church, we as a people, we can connect to grow in a safe place. That's my hope and my desire and my prayer for all of our life groups across all of Life Church, that it is a safe place. It is a gathering of grace. I tell you, when I first went through Freedom Group, we have our Freedom Conference coming up here at the beginning of May. If you're in a Freedom Group right now, make sure you sign up. Don't miss the deadline. You don't want to miss it. And next semester, if you haven't gone through Freedom Group, I definitely want you to. That's my hope. That's my prayer. That's my desire, that every single person will go through a Freedom Group at one time or another. But I tell you what, it was a game changer. It was a life changer for me, was my Freedom Group. And when I stepped into my Freedom Group, I was carrying all sorts of weight. I was carrying all sorts of baggage and shame and guilt of my life before Christ. And what happened was I found a gathering of grace. And I was able to share and I was able to open up to every detail of my life from birth until that moment of what I was battling, what I was struggling. And not a single person came and said, "Hey, you know, you don't belong here," or judged me for it. They actually leaned in and loved me greater because of it. They recognized my need of grace and they extended grace. Because at any time in our life, when people need grace from us, we can look at the grace that we have received from our Father, from God the Father, the great grace that he has given us. May that be the heart of every life group. As any life group leader in here, may your life group be a gathering of grace. And secondly, may it be a gathering of healing. A gathering of healing. Yes, healing and grace, all this will take place on a Sunday. I promise you that. But church is more than just a building. We are the church. We, the people, are the church. And every single time in our life groups, this is what we can have. We can have grace and we can have healing. James chapter 5 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." Yes, we can confess our sins to God and we can pray to God. We can, you know, he hears our prayers, but there's no coincidence that says to confess your sins to one another and to pray for one another that you may be healed. If we want to be healed, we need to be able to talk to each other. We need to be able to let our guard down a little bit. Maybe take some bricks off the top layer of our wall as we're deconstructing our wall a little bit to be able to get to the other side so that we can confess our sins, so that we can ask for prayer and just be able to communicate those things to those around us. If we want healing, this is what we need. We must confess to God for forgiveness and confess to people for healing. That's what we can do. That can be our life. If we want forgiveness, confess to God. If we want healing, confess to people. Because the word says, where two or more are gathered, may every word be established. Yes. Two or more, that's all you need. I'm not asking, you know, for the introverts. Sometimes these community topics, you know, seem somewhat overwhelming for some introverts in here, but I know that introverts love and need community just as much as the next person. I know extroverts are a little crazy about it. I'm one, so that's just me. But introverts, I know they love community just as much as the extroverts. It's just they don't like big community. They don't need whole parties or anything going on. Let's just get an intimate circle. Start a small Bible study. Whatever it may be, this can be our hearts at Life Church. And finally, we have a gathering of grace. We have a gathering of healing, and we can have a gathering of mission. Gathering of mission. This is the third principle that I see in a Jesus-honoring life group, because taking us all the way back to Acts chapter 2 to finish the verse that I cut off. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the mission of our hearts. This is the mission of God. He wants to add to our numbers daily. Can we say yes to that mission? Can we allow that to happen? And here's the thing, if you're a life group leader or if you're just in a life group, one thing that I love about our groups is that they're not just for people at Life Church. You got a neighbor who doesn't really want to go to church, or maybe they can't because of their work schedule. Bring them to your life group. Let church happen there, because you are the church. And we are missional in what we do, and we can't do it alone. That's a simple truth. We are missional in what we do. Every single thing we do, every decision we make has a purpose, and there is a design, and there is a mission behind it. There is greater vision that God has for this place, for you people, more than I could ever speak to. Because he has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives, and he will use you. He will use you to change lives, and you probably never would have thought how he will use you if you just let him. If you just say, yes, Lord, use me. We talked about the one another, how we must confess to one another and pray for one another. You know, there in the New Testament, there are 59 one another verses, 59 of them. There's no coincidence that there are so many. 59 is a lot, if you ask me. And I'm not going to sit here and read through every single one of them. That would take a while, but I'm going to point out five of them. The first is Galatians 5:13, serve one another. This is part of our mission, that we serve one another. Because if we are feeling lonely sometimes, what we need most is to serve somebody. We need to get outside of ourselves and serve those around us. Second, or other, be hospitable to one another. Some people in here have the gift of hospitality, others, not so much. But that doesn't mean you can't be hospitable. Can you open up your lives? Can you open up your door? Can you open up your fridge, whatever it may be, to those around you, those in your life? Can that be part of your mission? Ephesians chapter 4 says, be kind to one another. And here's the thing. I will say one thing about this verse is that many people will read, be kind to one another, and speaking against sin, as contradictory. But that is the most loving and kind thing that we can do. Because oftentimes people just don't realize. They don't realize that maybe their life is as you know, broken as it may be. But here's the truth, we're all broken. And we all need a savior. And we all have different temptations, and we all fall into sin here or there. But we need a savior. It's not from a higher place of, I'm better than you, you need to fix this. It's, hey, I'm broken with you, you need to fix this. Because I recognize my sin, I recognize the way I need to turn. The best thing is to share, yes, the love of Christ. Share the love of Christ in every situation. And part of that is saying, hey, we're living in sin and we need to get out of this. We need to trust in and lean on the word of God, his loving kindness, all of our days. First Thessalonians chapter 4 says, therefore, comfort one another. When you have people in your life, friend, family member, going through a hard time, can you allow yourself to comfort them? Sometimes it's awkward. I, for one, am not the best at comforting. I don't know how to be serious a lot of the times, and I make jokes. But my remedy is laughter. You know, laughter helps, right? And that's not always the best case, I can promise you. But sometimes it's just sitting alongside someone, letting them cry, letting them pour it out. And one thing I've learned over the last couple months is that they don't always need a solution. Sometimes they just need you to listen. Just to say, I hear you. Can we pray together? That can be the best solution, and God will move bigger and mightily and more mighty in those situations than us trying to fix it ourselves. In Galatians chapter 6 says, to carry one another's burdens. to carry one another's burdens. And what does that look like? It's not necessarily to say, hey, I see you're hurting, I see you're struggling, can I take that off of you? It's coming alongside, lifting, putting your arm around them and lifting them up. It's as if somebody, we see a lot of times runners and they're running like crazy, like multi-marathons in one time or whatever, and they get to the end and they're so weak and they're running and their bodies are real. And then you see sometimes another runner come alongside them, maybe a teammate, maybe an opponent, they'll come alongside them, lift up their arm and say, let's carry this together, because you're not alone. Even though the enemy wants to tell you you're alone and there's nobody here for you, it's a lie. It is the biggest lie from the deepest pits of hell. And I just want to clear that up and rebuke that in the name of Jesus this morning. My question for us today is, together, what could we do? Together, what could we do? Because yeah, a lot of us are great and we're good on our own, but how much better and how much further could we go together? And we need, as a church, is to get out of our world and love somebody the way that God loves you. When we are battling the thoughts of loneliness, you can relate to those then who will battle loneliness. But even in times of our loneliness, we can still show up. We not just send a text, maybe pick up the phone, give a call, check in on somebody. And maybe you want to be a little crazy because nowadays it doesn't happen anymore, but maybe you just show up and knock on their door. Say, hey, how are you doing? We know that you've been hurting. We know what you've been walking through. How are you? And that seems a little crazy in our life and in our world that we live today, because everything's done digitally and online and it's more convenient. But is it worth risking our connectedness? And above all else, not only do we need each other, but the most important thing is that we know God. And by knowing God, we will find freedom.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.